All right, good afternoon. I thought that was a very hard-fought game yesterday, and two very good football teams. We were fortunate enough to make enough plays throughout the game to stay in it and then to make some very critical plays at critical times and got a hard-fought win. And with that, I'll open up for questions. Daryl?
Coach, after your film review, was Matt's performance just as impressive as it was firsthand live?
I think that Matt's performance was just as impressive on film and through the film review. Obviously, the numbers speak for themselves. Setting an Atlanta Falcon record for the number of yards. I thought he was on point, distributed the ball, was able to make plays after the play broke down, the integrity of the play, and he got it into our playmakers' hands. So it was a very good performance by our quarterback.
Any update on Jake Matthews?
As we said, after the game, I didn't know anything. Jake was examined again today, and we will have, by NFL policy, we'll be giving our injury report out on Wednesday.
Coach, what did you talk about your the combination, the stable of your running backs and the way that they performed the first time together?
Well, I think we did a very good job in getting the running backs an opportunity to touch the football. They've shown through preseason that they deserve an opportunity to touch the football, and when they had their opportunities, they made the most of it. I think that Steven Jackson was very efficient in his first action. It was great to see Steven back out there, but we do have three other running backs that deserve the opportunity to touch the football. And I've said it many times, we don't have 11 starters on offense. We don't have 11 starters on defense. We've got probably 14, 15, 16, depending on the package and depending on how people are going to try to defend us. And the more playmakers you have, the more opportunities they get to touch the ball, the more opportunities they're going to have to create explosive plays. And those guys, we had 14 explosive plays in that game yesterday. And that's it's about as good as you can get in terms of explosive plays.
Coach, how did you break down the third downs defensively? They still got 62%.
It is a big concern. We had three penalties. We had four penalties on defense. Three of the four penalties on defense were on third down. We've got to be more efficient on third down. We gave up third and eight, which is in the defense's advantage. We had a sack taken away on third down because of a hands to the face, which gave them a first down. We have got to be better in a lot of areas, especially on third down. And it's not just pass rush. We've got to affect the quarterback, move the quarterback. We've got to make sure that we stay with the receivers and have tight coverage.
On the same subject that you brought up, the pass rush, how did you evaluate the pass rush specifically on the third down scenarios?
Wasn't good enough. I thought there were times that we moved the quarterback and it was maybe one guy getting win. We've got to have much more production from our guys up front in terms of affecting the game. And we did not have the type of production that we did. We made plays throughout the game, but the consistency wasn't where we needed to be.
How tough is it on them getting to a guy that was getting it off at 2.85 seconds?
Well, there were two really good quarterbacks playing in the game yesterday. That's obvious. That is a factor, and we've got to be able to have some production up front with our defensive front. And at the end of the day, we didn't have a sack. We did move him off the spot. We were able to force some incompletions, and more importantly, we had the two big turnovers, and that was probably the difference in the game.
Along the lines with that too, I mean, is another big key for
for you guys to step forward the red zone efficiency?
Well, yes, it was one of the emphasis points of the off season, and on the offensive side of the ball, we were 100% in our red zone efficiency yesterday. And I think that it was a very good game plan that was put together by our coaching staff. Coach Cutter and his staff had an outstanding game plan, and the guys went out and executed it. And, again, when you have the multiplicity that we have available for us in terms of our offensive guys that can touch the ball and where they're going to line up, I think that's going to create issues for, you know, for defenses. Yes, you're going to be in ball games where you feel like you're going to be able to run the football. And again, we felt like it was going to be dictated how Ryan tried to defend the formations and the personnel groupings that we put out there. I felt like that we ran the ball very efficiently. I think it was 123 yards of rushing. If you can average 123 yards through 16 weeks, we're going to really like where we're at in terms of the offensive side of the football. But, it's all dictated by the matchups and the match between, our offense and their defense. And that was a good defense, guys. That was the number 4 ranked defense in the National Football League in 2013.
Coach, in talking to players in the locker room yesterday, none of them expressed any type of panic, regardless of the ups and downs. And obviously you mentioned this game is an emotional game. Can you just kind of talk about how proud you are of the guys going out there, Matt Ryan, leading the way down the field? No panic, just do what you have to do.
Yes, this is a group of guys that have a don't-blink mentality. We've said it in the preseason. Regardless of what occurs in the game on the practice field, it's a no-blink mentality, and I thought it showed very well yesterday. It was good for us defensively when you hold New Orleans to field goals on those first two drives. That's very critical. But at no time in that ball game was there any sense of panic on that sideline or out there on, out there on the field. I think we showed our resiliency. There were ups and downs, and in the NFL, that's what happens. As I mentioned, most games are going to come down to one score or less, and I'm very proud of the way that our guys played yesterday. There were lots of positive things, but believe me, when you watch that tape, there's lots of things that we have to fix, and we will. And it wasn't players. We didn't coach as good as we can coach. And I said it yesterday, starting with me, in terms of the decision making and the things that we have to do as a coaching staff.
Mike, one of the things you talked about in the offseason was playing better second halves. If you assessed yesterday mentally and physically what you guys were able to do late in the game, is that what you guys are now hoping for is more the norm this season?
It needs to be the norm, Chris. It's something that we talked about extensively as a staff. We talked about it extensively with the committee of veteran players that I meet with on a regular basis. It was an emphasis point. We took in different people's points of view, and I think we've come up with a plan, and we executed it yesterday. And again, there's only 12 minutes and a half time, so it's hard to change a whole lot of things, but I think that we came out and we played well. We got, a score, and then we got two stops in the first two drives on the defensive side of the ball when we hadn't slowed them down in the first half. So I think that helps the confidence level of our football team.
Mike, how did you view Matt Ryan's mobility yesterday was key in keeping drive a lot and plays a lot. Were you surprised to see that moment? Like sandbagging on you?
No, it didn't surprise me. Matt has done an outstanding job with the offensive coaches in evaluating areas that he needs to improve. Matt does it every year. Matt's stronger. He's been working with our athletic performance guys. He was the first guy back in the weight room after the season ended last year. And he did a very good job of avoiding the rush, extending plays. You know, we don't expect Matt to go out and rush for 100 yards, but we do. You know, we saw it yesterday, and he had a very, very good comfort level with his pocket awareness, and he did some things that helped us get first downs with his feet. And when you have that added dimension, along with the other guys that we have on the offensive side, people may have to start spying our quarterback.
Coach, when they pressed you about the offensive line, you had to play a game without Sam, obviously, and then losing Jake in the game. What impressed you most about keeping Matt clean and being able to win the ball?
I think it has a lot to do with the cross-training that we've done throughout training camp, the competition that we've had. There's been different guys playing with different combinations. And I'll go back to, you know, what I said earlier. It's you don't blink. You can't blink. You've got to play. And there's going to be different circumstances that occur in a game. You never know what they're really going to be, but you try to prepare for them all. But that doesn't always happen. And those guys did an outstanding job, not only run blocking, but protecting our quarterback. I think he was only sacked one time, and that's a very aggressive, good defensive line. And we've got some guys that are able to play multiple positions, whether it's right side, left side. I thought Gabe Creamy went in and did an outstanding job for not really taking any snaps over there on the left side. He was called to duty there in the second half and did a very good job for us.
Any guys on film that really kind of stood out to you that maybe you didn't necessarily notice their contributions on the...
Well, I think that there were two really big plays that the defense made that were really game changing moments on the defensive side of the ball. There were some young guys that had their first experience. Rashid Hageman, we got Rashid some significant playing time. We wanted to get Prince Shimbo some significant playing time. Both of those guys got an opportunity to play. We wanted to rotate those guys in, and they got an opportunity to do it. I thought Kamil Ishmael, he played a handful of plays on defense. That was good for him in terms of getting experience.
Like sometimes, I don't know how many little things were actually on the game, but Robert McClain was explaining yesterday on his pick. He figured out very quickly they couldn't go high, so he actually had a shot to make the play. And then on the fumble recovery, instead of just watching a football play end, you had a guy who was actually looking at a guy with a football. Are those types of things, again, when you talk about difference-making plays,
you've got to win those. There, it's four or five snaps, and I think we can talk about the four or five snaps fairly easily here about that were the difference in the ball game. One of the things that we have really worked on in the off season is attacking the football and creating turnovers. The New Orleans Saints were 36-1 under Sean Payton in the last four seasons that he was the head coach. When they did not lose the turnover battle. We won the turnover battle, and, I think that was a telling statistic for us, and we did a very good job of taking care of the ball. We only had the one turnover.
Mike, what told Bill that Devin Hester, a guy that hadn't caught a pass since 2012, could not only come in and be a return, we know his return skills, but to have the kind of impact he had right off the bat offensively in your offense. Sort of told y'all he could do that, and I assume it wasn't surprising to you, his contribution yesterday.
It was not the least bit surprising. We had Devin Hester in for a visit in the free agency period, and when I sat down with Devin, I had a very frank conversation with him about what our thoughts were and what he could bring to the table, and he was in complete agreement that he's not just a return man. He is a wide receiver and can help us, and he was going to come here and compete for playing time in our wide receiver group. And I think he's shown in the preseason and he's shown in the first game that he has outstanding skills as a wide receiver, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be very good for our offense and he's going to be a guy that you – how can you sit here and say you can't count Devin Hester as a starter? Going back to my point of there's more than 11 starters on, you know, on an offense or a defense.
What does he bring to, you know, mixing in with the kind of game that Julio and Roddy play?
Well, I think that he has a similar skill set to a couple of our wide receivers. The thing that I think that he brings is that when people are going to try to take away certain assets, there's, you know, there's him that now is going to get, you know, less assets. And I'm not going to talk about the specific ways that people are trying to defend us, but there's going to be opportunities that he's going to get less assets given to him, and he's going to get chances to get the ball. And then there's going to be other times when he starts making plays that he's going to have assets, and then we're going to get some one-on-one and some different looks with other receivers. And that's really what it's all about when you have playmakers. And the more you have, the better opportunity you have to move, move the football and score points. And I thought they did a very good job yesterday. He has. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to see a guy bulked up at 6'8" with his frame, but he has. He's gotten stronger. I think he really competed well, and he had a couple of critical catches in the ball game yesterday, and he's, you know, everybody asks how you're going to fill the shoes of the guy that played here before. He can't fill the shoes, but Levine can help us win football games by playing to his strengths and doing what he's capable of doing. And I thought he did some very good things in the game yesterday.
Mike, what was your comfortability level with Matt both at the end of the game and overtime as far as, you know, field position? Yeah, I mean, obviously you're trying to get as close to the field as possible, but at that point in time, what was your comfortability level?
Well, we have every week we have a line of demarcation, so to speak, in terms of at the end of the game or the end of the half or a normal field goal based on how Matt, kicks the ball. And both of those situations at the end of the game and in overtime, he was well within the range. We kicked him some long-range field goals on Monday, our extra day of work, just to see where his leg was. We always do that. And Let's just put it this way. You saw where the ball ended up. It ended up in the net on both 50 and 51-yard field goal attempts. So Matt's got a strong leg, and we had all the confidence in the world that if we had the good snap, good hold, it was on time, it wasn't going to get blocked, and it was going to go between the goalpost. We had all the confidence in the world.
Coach, you talked all preseason.
Yeah, again, I want to be really clear with this. I really can't talk about those specific plays yesterday because, head coaches aren't supposed to talk about penalties. So I want to make sure that I'm not going to talk directly to those plays. We know how it's going to be. We think we know how it's going to be officiated. I think there's going to be a feeling out period between coaches, players, and officials on what's going to be called. I definitely have my opinions, but I don't think it's in the best interest of me personally or the Atlanta Falcon organization to comment on those. Well, I will say this, the fans were outstanding yesterday. My head's still ringing, and my ears are ringing this morning when I got up. I mean, it was just an electric atmosphere for an NFL football game. And, yes, it's very important to win at home. There is a plan in terms of how you make the playoffs, and it's by winning at home. You've got to take care of business at home because it's very difficult to win on the road in the NFL. And if you take care of business at home, it really helps you. And then the other thing you got to do is you got to win in your division, Chris. And we put more weight on division games. You know, that's really like a one and a half wins when you start talking about the division race, because that's the quickest way to make it to the playoffs is to win your division.
Was the coin flip in that category with the refs? It looked like they called one thing and it was a coin flip there yesterday in overtime. Got in your ref folder too.
Yeah, I think I wasn't really too concerned about that coin flip, that, you know, at that point. But, you know, I thought, you know, obviously we would have liked to have the ball, but obviously we didn't. They called it and they got it. And, you know, we went out and made a critical play right off the bat. And that was really the thing that I was concerned with the most is, okay, we're on defense. Let's go out there and, get a stop or get a turnover.
I mean, let me ask you one other thing on Devin. When a guy is so good at return, you know, some aspect of the game like he is, returning kicks, can they kind of get, you know, pigeonholed or stereotyped a little bit? Do you think that's what kind of happened to him over the years? He was so good at that people didn't really recognize maybe the receiving part of it?
I can't speak for the coaching staffs that he was with before. I know that he is a dynamic kickoff and punt returner, and you want to get the ball in his hands because when the ball's in his hands, you can see how dynamic that he can be. And again, the way that the game went yesterday, we knew that we were going to be lucky if we got one opportunity for him to return a kickoff. We were facing a kicker that was not just going to kick it 8 or 9 yards deep. He has the ability to kick it out of the end zone. When you go into a game like that, you want to make sure that you want to get the guy an opportunity to touch the football. So you have to create opportunities for him on the offensive side of the football. I think that the punters are getting better and better in terms of hanging the ball up, the gunners running down underneath it. There's going to be some games that we know that he's not going to get those opportunities. I think when we play outdoors, we may have better opportunities for him to return kicks and to return punts. But again, I think it goes back to when we had him in here on his free agent visit, the conversation that we had, and it was so encouraging, is that I'd worked with him at the Pro Bowl. We had worked with him over in Hawaii, and you could see how dynamic he was, is that it was his intention to come in here. He just didn't want to come here and be a punt and kick returner. He wanted to help us win games any way we could, and that he wanted to compete for a wide receiver job. And, he came in here and he's done that, and he's shown what he's capable of doing. You're absolutely correct. We as coaches and people in this organization, we'd like to say we had turned the page in February of last year because we were making plans for 2014. But this game is so popular with the off season. They'll talk about acquisitions and the calibration of your roster. But they're still going to be talking about the last game that was played because that's the focal point of the NFL, is those games. And now everybody has an opportunity to have a new focal point to talk about, and that was the game against the New Orleans Saints. I can assure you this, we've already met the players. We met early with the players today. put this game to rest, and we're on to the Cincinnati Bengals because they had a really impressive win on the road against the Baltimore Ravens.
Coach, can you talk about that? Two ball coaches growing up in the NFL, two 1-0 teams, and you guys, trying to make your way to week two next week in Cincinnati.
I'm sorry.
You and Marvin.
Marvin is, I consider Marvin a mentor and a friend. We talk quite often, this off season, probably not as much because, we're competing. I did have an opportunity to visit with Marvin on Saturday. To wish each other luck. He's got a very good football team. They've been to the playoffs the last 3 years. Won their division, which is to me is one of the toughest divisions in the AFC from top to bottom. He's got a physical team. He was here last year with his team to work against us for 2 days, and then play a preseason game. I always look forward to competing against friends. That's something that I think gives an added edge for your preparation. But he's got a very good football team that's got a lot of weapons on offense, and they play very good defense. They're very physical up front. They've got two new coordinators, which is a little bit of an unknown on the offensive and defensive side, having lost their two coordinators to move on to become head coaches. But we've got some preseason film to evaluate. And then the first game.
Last one.
Just your evaluations of the impact of both Roddy and Julio in the locker room yesterday. Antoine Smith was asked about his touchdown, and he called out Julio for the block that Julio threw to spring him up the sideline. And then obviously Roddy moving up the record books with career touchdown receptions.
Yeah, both of those guys are not only great players and playmakers, but they're great teammates. There's a sense around our building about being a great teammate, and that's something that I think is very important. There's going to be 11 guys out there. Only one guy is going to be able to touch the ball on that specific play. So as Coach Cutter says, we need assist men. Certain plays you're going to be, the featured guy. Other plays you're going to be the assist man, and we need guys to do that. And we point out all the time the assists that were made by our players.